This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very beings, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. You read correctly in your leaflets that Father Marty is supposed to be giving the sermon today and be here, but he lost his voice and wants to be sure he's not coming down with something going around and give it to all of us, so he is at home worshiping with us today. Please keep him in your prayers. So the full moon, Friday night, how many of you saw it? Yeah, and then last night, it was also beautiful. Well, Friday night, I was working on my sermon for Unplugged, and I took a break, and I went outside, and I looked up at that sky, and it was magnificent, right? And the full moons, as you probably know, have names every month. You've heard of the harvest moon, and then there's the strawberry moon. And if you look it up, it's really very interesting, the names of the moons that were given across the centuries, frequently by Native Americans. And so for February, I came across four names. One is the ice moon. Another is the cold moon. So those two are pretty, you know, self-explanatory. And then there's the hunger moon. The February moon is called, given by Native Americans and early settlers, so that when they were around a fire, they were hungering, wondering if they were going to have enough provisions to last them through the winter. And they saw that moon. And then my favorite one is the quickening moon. The quickening moon. It's as if you're looking at spring coming forward. We've just finished the halfway point of winter, and if you live up north, you're ready for some spring for sure. Down here, we just love it. And you're looking, and you see a quickening, waiting for that little bud to come up, maybe. And it's like a woman who's pregnant. The quickening is when you first feel the movement of your child within you. There's something new going on. Well, Friday night, it was kind of cloudy. But the moon was still beautiful and brilliant. Sometimes the cloud would come in front of the moon, and sometimes then it would be just magnificent. The sky almost was kind of bluish, if you noticed. And I quickly realized that this was my object lesson for the sermon today, because those clouds represent all of the egregious things that we can do, and they're not just the minor faults and sins that we do also. And yet that moon, that light of Christ, is always there still. It can be so cloudy that we forget that, and we've brought on such calamity in our lives that it doesn't seem like it, but that light is there. Always. Always. And talk about clouds that seemingly push out the light. Murder, adultery, divorce, swearing under oath and lying. Jesus is continuing to teach us today from the Sermon on the Mount. We started 2 weeks ago. He goes up on the side of the mountain. He had told the disciples to follow him. They all followed him up the side of the mountain. And he teaches for now several chapters in Matthew. And so we started out by him saying, this is what it looks like to be Christian. Blessed are you if you are meek, if you are a peacemaker, if you mourn for what is just and true and good, or mourning the loss of a loved one, you'll be comforted. Blessed are you who stand up for righteousness. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, because you know your dependence on God. That's what it looks like. And then the next week, last week, he told us, and guess what? It's not like the Pharisees think that the kingdom of God is going to be somewhere out there. The kingdom of God is at hand, and you are the light of the world. You aren't waiting for it. You don't have to be good enough to be the light of the world. You already are the light of the world. It might seem cloudy, But you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth, following in the way of Christ. So he's prepared us now, and then today he gets real serious. And he sets out a new quickening, a new understanding of this scripture that would be so familiar to the people to whom he was speaking. And every single one, he starts out the same way. You've heard it said, thou shalt not commit murder, but I say. You've heard it said, you should not commit adultery, but I say. You've heard it said that whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce, but I say. You've heard it said, you shall not swear falsely, but I say. And so the crowd must have thought, what's he talking about? And there might have been that quickening, like, we're about to hear something new. Something revolutionary, maybe. It's like the ancient quote from the Hindu Lao Tzu, who said, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And you may wonder why I quoted that, but today's gospel is about preventing all of those awful things from happening in the first place. Murder, of course, it's horrible and horrific. And Jesus is saying, watch your anger before it ever gets to a point of rage. Be emotionally intelligent enough to know when something like that is going on within you in every little tiny thing. If you come to the altar and you have something against someone else, reconcile that and then come back to that God within you. I was talking to a friend the other day up at the beach, and another friend, a neighbor, came up and started to talk to us, and we were talking about something, and I said to the one friend, why don't you tell them the story about da-da-da, and she said, oh, yeah, okay, and she started to tell the story, and I got so excited about her telling the story that I said, right in the middle of her story, I said, oh, no, tell them about... And she looked over at me and she said, I wasn't fit. And she didn't complete it because she didn't want to be rude. But basically, she was saying, I wasn't finished. Just let me talk, right? And I was interrupting her. So then she finished and we had a nice conversation. And I went home and I texted her and I apologized for interrupting. And she texted back and she said, I was going to text you too because I felt like I was rude saying I didn't finish. How wonderful to clear that immediately. Those tiny, tiny little things can fester, am I right? And we build it up in our minds and we wonder what they're thinking of us. And I mean, it just goes on and on. And that's a simple example. It's important to admit when we're wrong. And if it's a big thing, to know that forgiveness is always there. That light is always there, no matter the cloud. Adultery, of course, is forbidden. And Jesus now also speaks to be aware of the thoughts and the actions that can lead up to it. He's saying, if you even lust for another, he says women, of course, because they weren't thinking about it being the other way around, but believe me, right, that happens too. That's also not okay. He calls it a sin also. Looking at someone else as a sex object, casual sex. He's saying, no, it's not okay. He's not saying that it isn't natural to be attracted to someone or notice someone's beauty. It's what we do with those natural tendencies. And when acted upon in that lustful way, it can destroy lives. Destroy lives. And then he really wants to emphasize it, so he does what any good Middle Eastern does. He gets into this hyperbole, it's hype, that's where we get the word hype, and exaggeration. That was a technique used in the Middle East to emphasize a point. And he says, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. If your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, We know we don't take that literally, or we'd be a blind, armless world, right? I mean, we can all think of instances where we might have needed to do that. He's making the point, and it's really important to get this one, that the intention of the heart, the awareness of lust, is a great opportunity to look at our own need, our own longings for sacred, healthy, holy relationships with another. Father Marty felt good enough last night that he did the renewal of wedding vows for Valentine's Day last night at the 5 o'clock service, and we decided to leave the runner down so that when you walk on it, when you exit, that you know how beloved of God you are in this way. Divorce, of course, is not what anyone expects to happen when you get married. In first century Palestine, there was no law forbidding divorce in the Torah, what we know as the first 5 books of the Bible. And there were 2 schools of thought. There was the Rabbi Shammai, and there was Rabbi Hillel. And Rabbi Shammai's way said a man couldn't divorce a woman. They never talked about the woman, because the woman, it just wasn't, they didn't even think of it that way. She was just kind of the owned, really. So if the man wanted to divorce the woman, it had to be for unchastity or sexual misconduct, something really, really awful. But Rabbi Hillel, his theory was that you could divorce a woman for anything. And the literature says the classic example is for cooking the dinner wrong. You can just get rid of her and say, nope, you're out. I'd be in big trouble if I was around. All you have to do is have a certificate, have witnesses, and you're done. Jesus comes along and says, no. Marriage is to be taken seriously. Seriously. And that's why in the Episcopal Church and in most mainstream religions, we have a series of at least 6 sessions of premarital counseling where we fully explore that couple's relationship before they enter into this sacrament. And we call it a sacrament because also we have this worshiping community that if you come to an Episcopal wedding, everybody in the congregation, just like we do at baptisms, we say, will you here present do everything in your power to uphold these two in their life? And everybody says a resounding, we will. We're to support one another. And the both sides of the couple have to be willing to work on it and come to us for resources and referrals to good counselors if that's what's indicated. And as a last resort, sometimes divorce does happen. Sometimes it does. The fourth issue is pretty simple. Swearing falsely, basically lying. God knows we are immersed in that today with false news, it's called now, is a thing. How to trust, how to tell the truth. It's hugely important. And we are forbidden to lie after swearing an oath to tell the truth. That was the given in that scripture. But Jesus is saying, I say, don't even need an oath to begin with. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your word be your word, your handshake be your handshake. We frequently, in sermons here over the years, remind people that before you speak, and you may want to get out your phones or something to write on, 3 questions, you've heard this before, to ask yourself, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And if you answer no to any one of those, don't speak it. It's a really good motto. It's not easy to follow so much, but one that we would be wise to follow. One last point, and then a prayer by our friend Andy Rain from our Iona community in Scotland. 3 times in today's gospel, Jesus refers to hell and the hell of fire. And this Greek word is Gehenna, and it refers to an area in the southwest of Jerusalem in the valley of Hinnom where they would put all of the waste, all of the trash, dead animals, even dead bodies sometimes. And it would be on fire, and it would always be on fire. Always be on fire. Many scholars agree that Jesus would use that terminology to indicate horrible agony, terrible mental anguish and despair. And when we make grave errors, like he enumerates today, we are there. And if we choose not to turn away from that, to repent and get back to Christ, then we stay with that. And we believe, yes, there is a place called hell after this life, if that's where we choose to go. That's what Father Mike used to say. And it was a saying I'll never forget. He said, hell is a place lovingly provided by God if that's what you choose to do. We've been given free will. Quickening. A coming to life for self-awareness of the love of Christ, forgiveness, love, a higher consciousness, and a way of being. To know that we are never alone and nothing is so bad that you can't be forgiven and get help or help someone else. This is a prayer, a poem really, but Andy Rain calls it a prayer, and he titles it an I prayer. I am not here to pass judgment or point the finger at anyone. My name was written in the sand as one who is forgiven. Strengthened with hope, impervious to shame, I will walk freely like the freshness of the dry lands after rain. Let light spill out of heaven through my life, dispelling mediocrity and silent blame. Too many people, guilt-stricken, wounded, walk in regret, feeling bad about failing, apologize for even breathing. Raw belief, a passion for others, grows in me, encircling each moment with instinctive prayer. I will carry the freshness of the dry lands after rain. Compassion lives in me again. My friends, may you feel the quickening, the new life of Christ in every moment, guiding your way. Amen.